from the Mansour Group and the Yankees, and the stadium is going to be down near Queens, right next to the Mets Stadium. What does the impact have on that? Here's a man who's going to tell us all about it. He is a king of US soccer journalism. He writes almost everywhere. The Boston Tribune, MLSsoccer.com, FoxSoccer.com, and the rest. And who's going to tell us all about it? He is a king of US soccer journalism. He writes almost everywhere. The Boston Tribune, MLSsoccer.com, FoxSoccer.com, and the rest. He is, of course, Kyle McCarthy joining us on the show today. Kyle, how are you, mate? It's been too long since we last had you on World Football Daily.
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Very well indeed. I've actually just got back in from the Women's Champions League final, which was a thoroughly entertaining game down at Stamford Bridge. So it's like a really nice teaser to get us ready for a big weekend of European football, and of course a big weekend of Major League Soccer action coming our way as well. Before we get into the action that's coming up, though, huge news for Major League Soccer with the second New York franchise being announced this week. What's your personal reaction to the ties with both Manchester City and the Yankees, with especially when you consider where this franchise proposed stadium is going to be down in Queens, right next to the New York Mets?
I think it's a fantastic deal for Major League Soccer. I think it's an important milestone for the league. I think the second New York franchise opens up a world of possibilities on the field and off the field for both the new club and the league as a whole. And I know there's been a lot of talk about the stadium and where it might be. And I think Queens is an option, but I think Manchester City and the Yankees will look at other alternatives as well to make sure that they find the right place for this new club to call home.
Are you at all worried that there have been some suggestions that this New York City club could become almost a feeder type club for Manchester City to maybe manipulate Major League Soccer in some way, shape, or form to benefit the side over here in Europe? Do you see that happening at all?
I think it would be difficult with the fair play regulations coming in over in Europe for City to use New York City FC as a feeder club. I think certainly there will be links there. I think there could be players going both ways, but I don't think a feeder club per se would really benefit either side. I think New York City FC needs to stand on its own two feet, develop its own image, and find a way to be successful on its own with the help of both of its parents.
Do you think it's going to be difficult for the club to find its own image, though, with as you say, the parents, if you will, of this New York City franchise being two of the biggest iconic brands in global sport?
I think they have to leverage the resources available to them from both of their parents to really push their own image. I know it's difficult to imagine something separate from both Manchester City and the Yankees, but I think with the resources available to New York City FC, they will have the option themselves as their own brand. And if they're able to use those resources adequately, they should be able to create their own mark. And that'll be important because New York City, in that crowded marketplace, isn't looking for a clone or an offshoot of something else. They want something unique, and I think New York City FC can deliver it to them.
What are the positives of this move in terms of the league as a all-encompassing brand itself? What are the main things to pull out of this that are positive for Major League Soccer as opposed to...
That's a big coup for the league. It's a lot of money. And it gives the league the ability to do different things on and off the field with that chunk of change. And then when you also look at New York City FC and its location, it's also a big boost to the league as it starts to look toward. That's a big coup for the league. That's a lot of money, and it gives the league the ability to do different things on and off the field with that chunk of change. And then when you also look at New York City FC and its location, it's also a big boost to the league as it starts to look toward. That's a big coup for the league. That's a lot of money, and it gives the league the ability to do different things on and off the field with that chunk of change. And then when you also look at New York City FC and its location, it's also a big boost to the league as it starts to look toward. Ahead of these negotiations is an important piece for the league. And I think the last part is that New York City FC gives MLS an opportunity to increase its profile in New York City. The Red Bulls have done their own thing But it, ahead of these negotiations is an important piece for the league. And I think the last part is that New York City FC gives MLS an opportunity to increase its profile in New York City. The Red Bulls have done their own thing, but it's been a problem for the league. And I think if New York City FC is able to find a stadium within the five boroughs, whether it's Queens or somewhere else, I think you'll see an increase in attention and an increase in curiosity in New York City for both the new team and the league as a whole.
How important is it having the stadium you mentioned in the five boroughs, but especially in somewhere like Queens that is very much a suburban area where it seems like a place that soccer could really thrive if it just had a hook in one of those Queens-esque type boroughs, as opposed to maybe trying to put a stadium on Manhattan? We've heard about the American football franchises that have wanting to do that, to have the stadium on Manhattan. That's just not been the case at the moment.
In New York, the big thing is finding a plot of land capable of hosting the stadium. And whether that's in Queens, whether that's in Manhattan, whether that's somewhere else, that's something that the clubs will have to decide. But for New York City FC, the key for them is to be from the five boroughs, to find a place that is metro accessible for fans to be able to get to the venue and really adopt the team as their own. And if they're able to do that, then I think they've done a lot in terms of helping their own acceptance and pushing forward the brand of the team.
You mentioned the money as well that will come into Major League Soccer from this, from the initial investment and also potentially from the increased fan base and television rights. The money that the Mansour Group can bring in to football, into any business that they own, is exponential. So is there a worry that maybe New York City will exploit that to tip the scales in their favour and work the system in the same way that we saw the Galaxy have done that, with their kind of heavy involvement in ensuring that there are three DP players on each side? Is there a possibility that could happen in a similar way with this New York City franchise, and they could manipulate the league slightly to ensure that they have a competitive edge and take away that parity that makes MLS so enthralling to watch to the neutral fan?
I think there's certainly a chance that City will come in and spend a lot of money. But I think the wider context and the wider impact of their arrival will be within the philosophy of the league as a whole. The current set of owners has evolved from back in the day. I mean, you've got more clubs that are willing to spend more money, but they're all still operating under a restrictive salary budget of less than $3 million. And the question for me is whether the arrival of City is an impetus of sorts to really raise the bar on that front and really find a way to get substantive changes through the Board of Governors to increase the salary budget and liberalize the rules a little bit to allow some of these newer clubs that want to come in and spend significant money on their playing staffs to be able to do so. It's just a matter of numbers at this point. And with City FC coming in to the league, that is another group in favor of spending a little bit more money on players.
If it comes down to that decision, though, will there be enough of a backing from the other sides that aren't in the Los Angeles and in the New York cities of America? Will they have enough kind of voting rights, if you will, in that decision to make sure that the parity stays the same as it is at the moment, do you think?
Well, they've done a good job so far of resisting those overtures, but the impetus doesn't just come from New York and LA at this point. You're looking at clubs like Seattle and Toronto, who have vast resources available to spend on players, and they would like to go out and perhaps do that, but they're restricted by the way the league operates. And the question at this point is just a matter of numbers. Can the clubs that want to spend more money get enough traction within the Board of Governors to usher through those substantive changes? I'm not sure they're there yet, but they're inching closer every day. So it's definitely something worth watching.
It's a changing face of MLS that we're in at the moment. A side that is not going to be liking any of this talk at the moment is, as you mentioned earlier, the New York Red Bulls, who obviously play their football out in New Jersey. For them, the impact could be a disaster in terms of the pulling power that they have with a fan base that could easily become disconnected with the Red Bulls and switch over to New York City, especially with the big name backing that they have. How do the Red Bulls combat this?
I think they will combat it with a bit of pluck and a bit of anger. I think you've seen some of the comments made by both the general manager, Jerome Desbontains, and coach Mike Petke this week, essentially saying that, you know, we're still here and we're not going to just let them come in and usurp our city from us. And I think that sort of approach is important for the Red Bulls because they have built something in Harrison. They have a wonderful ground. They've done well to improve the playing staff over the past couple of years. And they have a history in the region and a solid fan base in New Jersey. Now, the question for them is, can they improve enough on and off the field to emerge as a viable contender against New York City FC and start to siphon off some of those fans and tempt them out to New Jersey? And that's a difficult task because for some reason there's a mental...
A big rivalry between these two New York franchises could be beneficial for the whole of Major League Soccer.
Absolutely, and that's something that MLS Commissioner Don Garber has really tried to facilitate over the past couple of years. MLS has placed a lot of emphasis on its rivalries, whether it's in the Pacific Northwest between Seattle and Portland and Vancouver, or even in other places when you're looking at the Texas Derby, which unfortunately has been a problem because of the way the schedule has worked. You know, MLS places a lot of emphasis on these derbies, and to bring in a derby in New York City, you know, the focus of the East Coast, it's critical. And I think MLS will have to be careful with it because it'll grow organically by itself. This is not the sort of thing where you're going to need to inject, league capital to really puff it up. It's just a matter of waiting and watching the enmity grow. And that'll be interesting to see come 2015.
Yeah, there's nothing better, I think, than an organic rivalry built out of maybe a couple of playoff disasters against the opposing side or something like that. It's going to be a very interesting time indeed. That's going to come in the near future. In the present day in Major League Soccer, the New York Red Bulls have started the season very well, Kyle. I suppose a great way to combat the new franchise would be to start winning some MLS Cups. Are we seeing an MLS Cup-worthy side playing at the moment in New York?
I think they're getting there. I think they've got a good run of form. Mike Petke has done very well in his first season as coach to keep the team organized, and they've really benefited from the resurgence of Tim Cahill, a player who failed to settle a little bit last year and didn't influence games as much as he would have liked. Cahill's been very important for them. He started to chip in with some goals, which have been critical. So whether the Red Bulls are an MLS Cup contender yet, I'm not so sure. But they're certainly doing well at the moment, and that's a good thing for both that team and the league as a whole.
We've seen a couple of surprises in the early part of this Major League Soccer season. Most notably, one in the East and one in the West, the Union and the Portland Timbers. Of these two sides, which are you more surprised about how well they've started the season? And what do you put down to being the key factors to their positive starts this year?
I think the Timbers are probably the more surprising outfit simply because of the amount of changes they had to make during the offseason to get to this point. Caleb Porter's team enters the weekend on a 10-match unbeaten streak. This team has played very well for much of the season. They've settled for probably a few more draws than they would have preferred, but they're difficult to beat, and they're playing an attractive brand of football. And I can't underscore the progress that has been made from what the Timbers were last year to what they are now. Is there still work to do? Yes. Are there still concerns defensively? Sure. But Caleb Porter has come in and done a great job with a revamped team and found a way to make the Timbers a competitive outfit each and every week. And that is a real shock considering how the club had operated last season.
And somebody who's not really doing that, especially in the East, is
outfit each and every weekend, and that is a real shock considering how the club had operated last season.
And somebody who's not really doing that, especially in the East, is Ryan Nelson at Toronto FC. We're seeing Toronto getting found out with maybe not enough moves in the East. Is Ryan Nelson at Toronto FC? We're seeing Toronto getting found out with maybe not enough moves in the off season, and also with a very inexperienced coach.
Well, I think Nelson's problem was the circumstances surrounding his arrival. He needed a full off season to come in, place a stamp on the team, work in the transfer market to strengthen his squad, and he wasn't able to have that. He was still playing at QPR, then he was delayed a bit, and then he came over, and you know, all of those things made it difficult for him to get the right group in place for his first season, and he's sort of working his way through the process at the moment. You can see with the moves that he's making that he still thinks he needs more players. The arrival of Stephen Caldwell from Birmingham City recently on loan, Jeremy Brockie from the A-League, Wellington Phoenix, I believe, on loan. You know, when you go to that well, I think it's a sign that the Reds don't think they have a strong enough squad. And I would agree. I think they need more players. I think they need the return of Danny Kovermans over the next couple of weeks as well will help. So there's work to do for Ryan Nelson. And I think he's done a decent job of making the team competitive and shoring up the defensive shape. But he needs more players. And I think they'll have to wait until the summer to go out and get him.
And Kyle, the team that you're arguably the closest to is, of course, the New England Revolution under the leadership of John Heaps. Such a young coach. They've persevered with him after last year was a difficult year for the Revos. How would you see the change that Heaps has been able to put into this side? What's he managed to change off in the offseason?
I think the Revolution did a nice job during the offseason of increasing their depth and increasing the options available to Heaps for his second season. And Heaps, you've seen, has put in a shape and a mentality that has allowed the Revs to stay in matches. They're very solid defensively. They really force opposing teams to break them down. The problem for them so far has revolved around getting forward and really testing teams at the other end. And I think you see glimpses over the past couple of weeks of the Revs really sorting that out with Diego Fagundes in good form and with the outfit for this year. Whether it ends in a playoff berth yet, I'm not so sure, but I think you can see progress from year to year, and that's important for a club that had an awful lot of work to do when Heaps took over at the start of last season.
Kyle, we can't ask you before you go, seeing as you are the final word before the final game of the European football season, the Champions League final here on World Football Daily. What's your score prediction, or are you just not bothered about it?
I'm completely bothered about it. I'm looking forward to watching the proceedings on Fox. And I believe that Bayern Munich will win. I think it'll be a close game. I like 2-1. I just think at this point that Bayern has too much for Dortmund. I think the loss of Hütze to injury is the difference that'll tip the scales.
I said that on the show yesterday, and I'm so glad I find somebody else that agrees with me. Kyle, it's an absolute pleasure to have had you on World Football Daily today. I know we've taken up plenty of your time, and I do apologise if we've interfered with anything in your day, but we look forward to getting you back on later on in the summer as we're on World Football Daily to talk all things Major League Soccer. And I guess seeing as we don't have any IKTS and we don't have, you know, any European fixtures to reel out, so here are the Major League Soccer fixtures for the weekend. We've got